2 degrees right now. KQEN News Time is 12:35.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Today, a look at the United Community Action Network and Executive Director Sean Pritchard joins us via phone. Sean, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Thank you, Kyle. Happy to be here.
Well, first of all, remind listeners about when you started at UCAN.
Right. Well, I started just a little over a year ago, and which was, I guess, probably a month and a half before things got a little different in this world.
I imagine that is not how you wanted to start your tenure at an organization.
Yeah, it's been difficult, but you know, the first year as a new director and new into the community, it would have been challenging anyway. So that's really how I look at it. And, you know, it's been a year of growth for me and a year of growth for everyone here at UCAN. And it's really tested the mettle of the staff here. And I'm just so very proud of, you know, how we've all come together and grown as professionals.
Give us kind of an overall broad brush stroke look at what it's been like at UCAN for the past year.
Well, you know, when I came in here last year, late winter, the main task was to hand the transportation district off to, or the UTRAN system off to the newly formed transportation district. And that alone was a challenging, you know, task. But then to have COVID come into play and trying to keep a transportation system going when there were just, there were so many unknowns about the virus at that point. Really, the credit goes to our staff for keeping that system afloat when many of the drivers themselves were in vulnerable populations. So I'm very proud of that. And then, of course, we went on, like many businesses, to become PPE experts, experts with the PPP loan, which I got those terms mixed up all the time. So, but and then the increased funding that came down from the state and the feds. Many businesses, through no fault of their own, had a decrease in services. But we were, UCAN was counted on as a service provider to really up its game. So for many of our programs, for example, the rental assistance. The funds for that were quadrupled, and we had to get that money out there. And again, so proud of the staff. We've had to hire temporary staff. We've had to train a lot of staff in both Douglas and Josephine counties. So again, a big ask by the state, and we delivered.
And leading a nonprofit, I suppose, during this is the overused term of the past 10 months, unprecedented times, probably poses special challenges just in terms of how a nonprofit organization, especially one as large as UCAN, works.
That's correct. Fortunately, we don't have to do it all by ourselves. We've been able to lean on funders, and they knew they could come to us because we have the track record of getting things done. And so, for example, the Oregon Community Foundation, the United Way here locally, the Ford Foundation, Calcrete, our faith-based community, and just many, many individuals stepped up to deliver to us the resources to help folks.
Talk about maybe some of the successes this year, a lot of different aspects of UCAN. Maybe run through some of the things that were accomplished in the, especially during the calendar year 2020.
Well, we transitioned to some new branding with our food bank here. It's now a program. It's called Feeding Umpqua Program UCAN. And those folks, I give credit to them. They were on site every day. Running the logistics of getting food out there to our pantries and other entities. So, 2 million pounds of food distributed to people in Douglas County. Just a wonderful job. And it's just, you know, there's some other things. I mentioned the rent assistance that help folks out. And that money went directly to landlords to help, you know, offset some of their costs, some of their losses over this period. A lot of what we do is revolves around homeless services. We have about 90 units that we maintain. In addition, we help around 400 individuals with temporary housing in hotels, including 200 veterans. So I'm throwing some numbers out here, but really that's the best way to demonstrate the impact of UCAN. Also with energy assistance helping people, we helped over 2,000 households, including about 5,000 actual residents with their energy bills this year in both Douglas and Josephine counties. We also kept our Head Start going, which was difficult because of the fact that we had to maintain stable cohorts in our classes, so there wasn't crossover with kids. So that meant some adjustments with things like recess and lunchtime, and then we also had to go to a staggered schedule with our classes and every other day type routine. And so a lot of distance learning, even with the Head Start kids, had to be done. And I really have to thank the parents for being understanding with this, because you know, we're in a position that we can't control. We're just following the mandates coming down from the state.
Obviously, the early childhood aspect is of a special importance, because you had parents who were affected by either having to work from home or needing to be at home, but having to work out of the home. And then some folks who may have been temporarily unemployed during parts of the spring in particular, things like that, and who needed the help that you could provide with working with their children probably more than ever.
Well, that's correct. And that's something that we faced, you know, internally in our own organization. We had parents that had to be home, and then they had to make a decision on whether they could continue with their duties or if they needed to direct their attention to their child's education. And especially, I think, with the, you know, the elementary kids, it's they don't necessarily have the skills yet to be able to be self-disciplined and follow study plans. I guess I'm lucky in that respect. I have a couple teenage kids. Not to say they always get their work done, but it's just a different ball game when you have the early childhood responsibilities in their education.
Did you have a lot of your staff working remotely, like a lot of other places?
Well, that's interesting. I mean, some of our operations, we had to have folks stay on site. I mentioned the food bank, the Head Start. Also, our property maintenance people, they couldn't just walk away from all of their duties. But yes, we did have a lot of people that had to go remote for one reason or the other. So we pulled off. We went from an agency that really didn't have anyone working remotely to having probably, I'd say, around half of the people working remotely. So a good deal of credit goes to our IT team for making that happen, essentially setting up 100 different mobile offices. You could think of it that way. It's just a minor miracle.
And I imagine that came with some expense.
It did. It did. You know, not everything was sitting there waiting for people to utilize at their homes. So there were considerable expenses that went into this. And again, through state and federal funds and the support of local foundations, we were able to make that happen. And we really didn't skip a beat. We only, like I said before, increased our services, and just so proud of this organization.
Going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. Sean Pritchard, the Executive Director of the United Community Action Network. More when we come back. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. 1245 at Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247 News Radio, 1240 KQEN. Lars Larson coming at 1. On tomorrow's program, Juliet Blanchett of Blue Zones Project Umpqua talk about their recent certification of this area as a Blue Zones community, what that means, what's ahead for Blue Zones, that and related Blue Zones topics. On tomorrow's program, we're talking about the United Community Action Network today. They put out a release about a week or so ago about their past year, kind of a year-end look back. Sean Pritchard, the executive director, joining us now. You mentioned the Head Start and some of the childhood services earlier. One thing I noted from your report was a need to provide emergency child care for some of the frontline workers, probably especially at the height of things in the spring.
Well, that's correct. When that came down and the pandemic was declared, we did have to step away from Head Start until we could get everything figured out. And agencies like Aviva called us and said, we have a need. We need to have our workers in here, and the childcare opportunities are gone. So the staff here with Maureen Short as our director pulled it all together, and we were able to provide childcare to many kids. And so that allowed our healthcare to keep moving along and doing their planning and the good work that they do.
Now, has some of that continued in the past months, or is that ramped down a bit?
It's ramped down a bit. Our Head Start mandate was told to proceed. So in the fall, we started up again with Head Start. And right now, I believe we're serving around 600 children. So we're kind of back in the full swing of things.
What about the impact of the wildfires? How did that impact UCAN?
Definitely impacted us. We were able to work with some organizations such as the Salvation Army to help with meals for that. And then a lot of people that came out of the Jackson County fires came up to Grants Pass for assistance. So we had a presence there on the fairgrounds and helped with coordinating services in that regard. And then also sheltered a lot of people through hotel vouchers. And so it was a big lift in the middle of everything else going on.
And it's interesting, we get hit with COVID and you have everything involved there on really, a quick turnaround timeline. And then the fires was basically no timeline. And yet people seem to step up from all over the place to help.
They certainly did. I mean, as I said before, the mettle of the staff has been proven. And, at times it just seems like everything's going wrong. But the staff here have really focused on the positive, and we're just going to keep moving forward for this community.
With everything that's going on nationally, I mean, the pandemic has brought on a lot of funding challenges to state, federal governments, really every level of government. Has it been a challenge to keep your funding level where it needs to be?
Well, actually, no. I knew this coming in here as a guy that's been around a while in government and in nonprofit, that we would be called on by the state and by the federal government to deliver services. So actually, we've probably had about a 25% increase in funds coming in and going right back out the door for rental assistance, utility assistance, child care, things like that. So not so much a concern that way, probably more a concern on the other side of it, on staffing up, keeping everybody safe, complying with OSHA guidelines. That's been more of the stressor on the agency.
What about up the road as, for instance, the legislature will be looking at a new budget cycle, probably some shifts and funding different things, federal government, a new administration, things may shift there. Mm-hmm. Are there concerns on either the state or federal level?
Really not. I mean, again, probably going back to the getting the money out the door, we're kind of waiting on to see how the second relief package will tie into the third or the upcoming Biden relief package. And then we'll have a better picture of how things are going to work. But I would expect more money to be coming down for rental assistance and utility assistance. And, you know, I really want to stress that if people are impacted by COVID, they need to be calling in the UCAN. We're building another list to help people. And, you know, this is helping people that normally might not, you know, take advantage of UCAN services. The income limits are a bit higher. And, you know, there's during times like this, there's no shame in asking for help. It's very important for us all to stick together as a community. And that's why we're here.
As you look ahead to 2021, are there things, maybe setting all these things like COVID aside for a minute, are there things that you're looking forward to continuing to make progress on with the organization?
I'd like to get to know all my staff. I haven't had that ability yet. I'd like to be out there on the front lines, learning every position. From an aspect of the organization, I think that, you know, we could do a better job getting the word out on all the different programs that we provide. Quite often, people will know one or two things we do, but they don't know the whole picture. And it's our job to get that information out there. So I look forward to that, some possible rebranding of the organization, and you know, doing our best to also be one of those organizations in the community that people want to work for.
How many staff, speaking of working for, how many staff does UCAN have right now?
Right now we have around 200 employees, and you know, everything from nurses to forklift drivers to school bus drivers, and on and on and on. It's amazing how many different occupations are here.
Now, given all the challenges that you've had here in the Umpqua Valley, what about the aspect of UCAN down in Josephine County and Grants Pass? Do you kind of split some of your time and spend part of the week down there sometimes?
Well, probably not as much as I'd like to do. We have very capable staff down in Josephine County. Our COO is Kelly Wessels, runs a tight ship down there. And so, you know, I'm not down there every week. When things get lifted a bit more, I hope to be down there every week.
Now, UCAN, as a nonprofit, you've got a board of directors. Talk about their role in the organization.
Well, they're pretty involved. We meet every month. A lot of the folks that are on the board have been people that have taken advantage of the programs to their benefit and to the benefit of the community. We do have some, you know, turnover from time to time, and we try to notice those openings on our website. Actually, Gary Leaf, our representative, has been on our board a long while, and I was sad to learn that Gary's going to have to move on and resign because of the fact that he's just on so many committees up in Salem, and he really needs to focus on that right now. So we're going to miss Gary, but, you know, someone will step in and take that place and provide the leadership and the direction that the agency needs.
About a minute left on Inside Douglas County. What are your thoughts overall about being in this community now that you've been here about a year?
I guess number one, the people are friendly. It's a beautiful area of the world to be in. I've seen a lot of caring that goes on. Wonderful employees. You know, there's a lot of things to do, and I really look forward to putting our roots down here as a professional and as a family, and, you know, look forward to the positive. That's what we need to do.
All right, Sean Pritchard is the executive director of the United Community Action Network as we take a look at the work of UCAN in the past calendar year. Sean, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Kyle, thank you, and thank you for all the good work that you do in getting the positive news out to our community.
1257 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
You've been been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.